Welcome back to the OU Nachyomi Project and our study of Divrei Hayamim Aleph. Today, our study will focus on chapter 11, Perek Yud Aleph. Vaykavtzu chol Yisrael el David Chevrona lemor. All of Am Yisrael gathered together in the city of Chevron, saying, and turning to David, Hinei atzmecha uvsarcha anachnu. You are one of us. Gam tmo, gam shoshom, gam biyot sho'o melech. Even back yesterday and the day before, even when Shaul was king, ata hamotzi v'hamevi et Yisrael, you were the leader. You were the head of our army. Vayomer Adonai Elohecha lecha, and Hashem, your God, told you, Ata tiretami et Israel. You should be the leader, the shepherd of my people, the people of Israel. Vata tienagid, and you will be their leader, al ami Israel, on my people of Israel. These opening two psukim of Perek Yud Aleph are parallel to the opening psukim of Shmuel Bet Perek Hei, and they reflect a long history of tension between David HaMelech and the people. Recall that Shaul was king for many years and quite successful. During the early years of Shaul's kingdom and his early successes against Israel's enemies, David HaMelech, then only David ben Ishai, was one of the leading generals of his army. He was the arms bearer of Shaul. He was the famous commander of Shaul's army, who all the women sang about. Shaul killed thousands, but David killed tens of thousands. He's the one, as a young lad, who already killed Goliath. And he was one of the most popular leaders when Shaul was king. Nonetheless, a rivalry broke out between Shaul and David. Shaul became jealous, accused David as becoming a traitor and attempting to usurp power. And led by Shaul, the people of Israel were chasing David and trying to kill him. Of course, David had a lot of popular support, but the official national position was David was an enemy of the people. Therefore, he had to hide away in the land of the Plishtim, sometimes in the land of Moab. He was also hiding out in Midbar Yehuda, in the Judean desert. And the details of all that are found in the book of Shmuel Aleph. Divrei Hayamim totally skips all those events that we find in Shmuel Aleph, because the topic of this book is not the life of David. Rather, all the attempts of David to build up the city of Yerushalayim, and afterward, to establish the Beit HaMikdash and Yerushalayim as God's city. Therefore, we jump over all that history. We simply begin with the key event when all of Am Yisrael gathers together in Hebron to anoint David as king. It's because the last 7 years, even after Shaul's death, he still hasn't been accepted. And because before Shaul's death, he was being chased, the people have to come to David and first gain his support and tell him, even though we were chasing you, and even though you were considered a public enemy, we all knew down in our hearts that you were going to be our leader one day. And we all heard about that prophecy of Shmuel, that one day you become king. Recall that when Shmuel anointed David as king, it was done privately in a family setting. It was only a rumor. Unlike Shaul, who was anointed publicly by the prophet Shmuel, David was never anointed publicly by a prophet because he never had an official public coronation. He was never anointed publicly by a Navi. The people have to come, and they recall the fact that Shmuel indeed did anoint David, even though it was done privately. And now, as a nation, all the leaders gather together and make that Meshicha, they make that anointing official, and this makes David the official king of Israel. What makes someone king is the fact that all the people, all the subjects accept him. This explains why the people, when they first come to David to accept him as king, even though he's already been king over the tribe of Yehuda for the last 7 years, now the entire nation of Israel comes and officially accepts his kingdom. And therefore, the book of Divrei Hayamim begins specifically with this event of his acceptance by the entire nation and his coronation in Hebron. Pasuk Gimel, Vayavo chol zikney Yisrael el hamelech Hebrona. All the leaders of Israel, not just the people who were supporters, but the elders, came to Hebron. David brit b'Hebron lifnei Adonai. David made a covenant with them, with the leaders of the nation, in the city of Hebron, in front of God. It appears when it says in front of God, it refers to the Aron. The Aron was taken from its resting place at that time in Kiryat Yearim and brought to this event, and hence lifnei Hashem. In a similar manner, we saw when Shmuel anointed Shaul in public, and he was coronated, also the same phrase is used, Lifnei Hashem. If you take a look in Shmuel Aleph, Perek Yud Bet, which is also the Haftarah of Parshat Korach, there also, Shmuel says, answer me in front of God's king, and in front of Hashem, Vayimshechu et David lemelech Yisrael. They, these elders, anointed David as king over all of Israel, Kidvar Adonai biyat Shmuel, just as God had told Shmuel, and Shmuel had told David's family, now the elders of Israel make that official as they stand in front of God. David now becomes the legitimate leader and the king of the Jewish people. Unlike Shaul, who when he became king, he fortified his kingdom in his capital city in Givat Shaul, but neglected the Mishkan, David, his first act will be to capture the city of Yerushalayim, the place that God is going to choose to establish his home and his house. David's going to make every effort to make Yerushalayim now the national center. Not only to establish the Beit HaMikdash there, but by moving his capital from Hebron, which was the capital of Yehuda, to the city of Yerushalayim, which is on the border between Binyamin and Yehuda, or in essence on the border between the children of Rachel and the children of Leah, this is an effort made by David to unite the people. There still remains a lot of tension from the time of these civil wars between the house of Shaul and the house of David, and all the battles between the generals Yoav and Avner, and that tension is going to resurface later on with the revolt of Absalom, and later with the revolt of Sheva ben Bichri. But at this time, because of that tension, David, as new leader, is making every effort to unite the nation, to make sure that those scars are going to heal, and moves his capital from Hebron to Yerushalayim. The story of that battle, and how he takes over the city of Yerushalayim, is going to be the next topic from Psukim Dalad to Chet. Again, very parallel to what we find in Shmuel Bet, Perek He. Pasuk Dalad, verse 4. Vayelech David v'chol Yisrael Yerushalayim hiyavus. David and all the people of Israel go now to Yerushalayim, which back then was called the city of Yavus. V'shama hiyavusi yoshvei haaretz. Living in Yavus at that time were the Jebusites, the inhabitants of the land. We saw in the very beginning of the book of Shoftim that the area of Yerushalayim that was in the Nachla of Yehuda was taken by the tribe of Yehuda, but the area of Yerushalayim that was within the border of Sheva Binyamin was not yet taken. This might have been because the tribe of Binyamin was not strong enough, or it could be they simply didn't take the initiative. David now takes that initiative. Pasuk Hey. It seems like the first thing that David wants to do is to try to kind of deal with the Yevusim, so there shouldn't need to be a battle. Vayamru Yoshvei Yevusi LeDavid Lo Tavahena. Therefore, David now has to capture the city. Vayakod David et Mitzudat Tzion Hi'ir David. David then takes the main fortress of Tzion, which later becomes known as Ir David, because David will establish his capital city there and his palace on that hill. To this day, that hill is known as Ir David. It's surrounded by Nachal Kidron to the east, by the Tyropin Valley to the west, and they meet at the southern tip of the city. Pasuk Vav, Vayemer David. David now challenges his army and his men, who is going to be the first to go and capture the city. Kom makei yevusi barishona, yelerosh ulasar. The first one who's able to take over the key position of the Jebusites controlling the city, he will automatically be the mayor of the city. He's promising a high position to the person in the army, to the officer in the army, who'll get the job done. Vayav barishona, Yoav ben Tsruya, vayhi l'rosh. Yoav takes that challenge, he goes first, and he becomes the head of the city, possibly the mayor, possibly the person who collects the taxes of the city, but he becomes the leader because of his military achievement. Vayeshev David bamitzad, David sat in the fortress of the city. Al king karulo Ir David. From that time on, the city is known to this very day as Ir David. Pasuk Zayin. Vayiven ha'ir misaviv, min ha'milo v'ad ha'saviv, v'yoav yichayeh et shar ha'ir. David then built the city around. Not only Ir David itself, which is rather small, because it controls the Gihon spring, the key water source of Yerushalayim at that time, but there is not enough room in Yerushalayim for everyone to live. Therefore, David HaMelech develops the city around from the Milo and all the surroundings. According to most modern commentators, the Milo means a fill, and because between Ir David to the north on Har Abayit, there's a very sharp valley, which nowadays is very hard to notice because it's filled up with buildings, but in ancient times, the bedrock is much lower in that valley. Most likely, the building project that connected Har Abayit to Ir David was known as the Milo, or the fill, or the landfill, that made the city wider and bigger. And in the future, that became the connecting area that connected Ir David to the Beit HaMikdash. And Yoav, Yichayeh et Shar Ha'ir, Yoav was in charge of the rest of the city. David took care of Ir David, and Yoav took care of the remaining inhabitants. Who are the remaining inhabitants? We see later on that the Yevusim were not totally wiped out. Aravna HaYevusi, Aravna the Jebusite, from whom David buys later on his threshing floor, which later becomes Har Abayit, we see he's still living in the city. Then we have a very nice summary pasuk, verse 9, pasuk tet. Ve'yelech David haloch v'gadol, v'adonai tzvot imo. Now we summarize that David became very successful, not only in developing Yerushalayim, and also in all of his endeavors around, and God was with him. his success both militarily, economically, and the unity of the nation, here the Navi attributes to God's help. Not only the Navi, if you read Sefer Tehillim, David himself attributes all of his successes to God. The next major event that the book of Divrei Hayamim is going to discuss will be David's attempt to bring the Aron from Kiryat Yearim to Yerushalayim as well, and afterwards his attempt to build the Beit HaMikdash in Yerushalayim. That will be the primary focus of Divrei Hayamim. Now, for the remainder of chapter 11 and through chapter 12, the book of Divrei Hayamim is going to quote from a list of David's military heroes. First, we're going to briefly discuss these psukim. Then we'll try to suggest an explanation of why the book of Divrei Hayamim includes them. Recall, we just had the story of Yoav. Now we're going to hear some earlier stories about David's men. Pasuk Yod. Ele Roshei HaGiburim Asher LeDavid, Hamit Chaskim Imo B'Malchuto, Im Kol Yisrael Lehamlicho, Kidvar Adonai Yisrael. This pasuk is going to give the answer of why these psukim are included in Divrei Hayamim. These are the leaders of David's war heroes who strengthened him to help him attain his kingdom, together with the whole people of Israel to make him king, as God told the people of Israel. What we're going to see here, and this was also emphasized in the book of Shmuel, that one could attribute David's successes to his military might, to his shrewdness, but not necessarily see the hand of God behind his victories. Here the Navi is coming to tell us that it's the hand of God that enabled David to win these victories, and it was because of God his warriors became national heroes. Starting in Pasuk Yod Aleph in verse 11, we'll get some very interesting stories about who these heroes were. Pasuk Yod Aleph, Ve'ele mispar ha'giburim asher leDavid. This is a list of David's warriors. Yoshevam ben Chachmoni, Rosh HaShloshim, the leader of this group of 30, his name was Yoshevam. Who orered chanito ashlosh mot chala b'pamachat. What was he known for? He was able to kill 300 men in one shot. He was such a successful warrior and so brave. In one battle, he was able to kill 300 men. He was number one. V'acharav Elazar ben Dodo ha'achochi. After him was someone named Elazar ben Dodo. V'hu b'shlosha ha'giborim. He was also one of these three leaders of the 30. Hu ayayim David b'pas damim. He fought together with David in a place called Pas Damim. This might be Ephes Damim, if you recall the battle against Goliath, when Am Yisrael was in Emek Elah, and the Plishtim are between Socho and Azekah. They're camping there in Ephes Damim. The details are in chapter 17 in Shmo Aleph, in Perek Yud Zayin. Ba'plishtim nesfu sham lemechama, ba'ti chalkat hasadem le'asorim. At that time, when they were fighting against the Plishtim, the field was full of barley. Ba'am nasu midnei Plishtim. The people ran away from the Plishtim, and hence were not able to harvest the barley. These heroes, they didn't run away. They stood within the field, and they saved the barley. They saved the people's crops. They smote the Plishtim who were trying to take those crops. Who brought this victory? It was through God's salvation that this great victory was won. Pasuk Tedvav. V'yirdu shlosha min ha-shloshim, rosh alatzur el David, el marat adulam, u'machane plishtim chona be'emek rifaim. Here we have the background for another battle that's going to take place. Recall, as we said before, there were 30 top warriors with David. Three of them came down from the Mitzuda, down to Marat Adulam. Marat Adulam is mentioned as one of the places where David was hiding when he was running away from Shaul. Nowadays, it's a little south of Ramat Beit Shemesh. To this day, the area is known as Adulam. U'machane plishtim chone be'emek rifaim. At the same time, the camp of the Plishtim was in Emek Rephaim. Emek Rephaim nowadays is known as a restaurant area in Yerushalayim. Emek Rephaim in biblical times began right where the old train station is and goes downhill all the way to the Malchamal where the new train station is. And the fact that the railroad tracks go from the old station to the new station in the Malcha only proves that it's a valley the whole way. And then it continues down towards Beit Shemesh. The reason why the Turks built the railroad tracks in that valley is quite simple. That is the only valley in Yerushalayim where one can go downhill from Yerushalayim all the way down to the coastal plain without having to climb at all. Therefore, someone living in the Shvelah, in the lowlands of Israel, who wants to attack Yerushalayim, the most natural ascent to Yerushalayim would be through Emek Rephaim, coming from the area of Beit Shemesh, pretty much right where the train station is in Beit Shemesh today by the Big. There's a nice valley that slowly works its way to Yerushalayim. It winds around through all those valleys, therefore it takes a long time, but it is the most natural approach. As the Plishtim are living in the Shvelah at the time, and the Jews now are trying to take over the mountain range, many battles take place between the Shvelah and the Har. Emek Rephaim will be one of those key places where the battles take place. The Plishtim are controlling Emek Rephaim, And David is trying to fight for control of that area. And here's the story of how they gain control near the city of Beit Lechem. Recall that Beit Lechem is a little south of Emek Rephaim in the Nachala of Yehuda. So let's review verse 15 again. Three of his warriors go down from the fortress in order to attack the camp of the Plishtim, which is encamped in Emek Rephaim. But David as Ben Tzuda. At that time, David is in the fortress. Unetzi Plishtim as Beit Lechem. Pasuk Yud Zayin. Vayitav David vayomar. Mi yashkeni maim mibor Beit Lechem asher bashar. David sitting in his fortress, seeing the Plishti troops in Emek Rephaim, not too far from Beit Lechem. He only wishes he would be able to defeat the Plishtim who are in Emek Rephaim. And near Beit Lechem, there was a well of water. He's saying, if we could only defeat the enemy and have control over the water sources in Beit Lechem. However, his words inspired some of his men to take action. And three of these 30 great warriors do something secretly that David didn't know about. Pasuk Yitchet. Three of his men went behind lines into the Plishti camp. And they secretly took water out of the well from Beit Lechem, Asher Bashar, which was near the gate. They carried the water and they brought it to David. But David did not want to drink them. Instead, he poured them out in front of God. In Pasuk Yetet, David explains why he didn't drink the water. David said, Chalila li melohai miasod zot. It would be a disgrace to me, to God, for me to drink this water. Hadam anashim ha'ele eshte benafshotam. If I would drink this water, it would be like I was drinking the blood of these men. Ki benafshotam hiviyon. They risked their life to bring this water. This danger that they put themselves in was not my intention when I said I wish I could drink from the water of that well. V'lo ava lishtotam. Therefore, he did not want to drink it. Eila su shlosh tagiburim. Nonetheless, this is a great act of these three warriors that they were able to go behind enemy lines and bring water, even though that wasn't something that David wanted. Here we learn about David's character. At the same time, we also learn about how great his men were. Who was the leader of this group? Pasachaf, Avishai Achi Yoav, Avishai Yoav's brother, who's mentioned many times in the book of Shmuel. Hu haya rosh ha-shlosha. He was the head of this group of three. Hu orer et chanito ha-shlosh mot chalal. He also, with his sword, was able to kill 300 men in a battle. V'lo shem ba-shlosha. He also had a name among these three. Umin ha-shlosha b'shnayim nichpad, v'ayah lehem l'sar, v'ar ha-shlosha lova. Of this group of three who went to Beit Lechem, he was the leader of that group, but he wasn't as great as the three people in charge of all 30 that were mentioned in the previous parshia. In other words, Avishai, he was the head of the second tier of leadership. Now we hear about another leader, a famous one, Benaya ben Yehoyada. Pasuk Chapet, verse 22. Benaya ben Yehoyada ben Ishchayo, Rav Pa'alim min Kavtzael. Benaya ben Yehoyada, a man of war with many abilities from a city called Kavtzael. Hu hika et shnei Ariel Moav. It's not quite clear what Ariel Moav is referring to. Either the two lines of Moav, which probably means two great warriors of Moav in their army. He was able to smite these two heroes of Moav. V'hu yirad v'kat ari b'toch habor b'yom ha'shaleg. He was also able, one time, to go down and kill a lion inside of a pit on a snowy day. Pasuk Chav Gimel, verse 23. Another great thing that the Benaya ben Yehoyada was known for. V'hu ikat ha'ish ha-mitzri. He also smote an Egyptian warrior. And here we have a description of someone which is very similar to Goliath. Ish midah chamesh ba'ama. A very tall, big man. 5 amot high. 5 amot is about 2.5 meters. About 8 feet tall. Uviyar ha-mitzri. Chanit kiminor orgin. And in the hand of this Egyptian was a sword, like a weaver's beam. When they describe Goliath, his sword is described in a very similar manner. But even though he had this big giant sword, Benaya went against him with a small little club. He was able to steal this sword from the hand of this Mitzri. He took the sword of the Mitzri and killed this giant Egyptian with his own sword. Ela asa Benaya ben Yehoyada. These are some of the great things that Benaya ben Yehoyada did. V'lo shem b'shlosha giburim. And his name was right up there with the three great warriors of David. Min ha-shloshim hino nechbadhu, ve'el ha-shlosha loba. He, among the 30, was one of the greatest, but he didn't make it to the top 3. V'yisimehu David al mishmato. Because of these great abilities, he put him in charge of his mishmat. That word is unclear. Some people translate like his bodyguard or special unit, or in charge of discipline among his men. In either case, he rises to a very important position within David's military command. We know from Sefer Shmuel, Benayahu ben Yehoyada was in charge of the Kreti and Pleti. Pasuk Chavav, V'giburei ha-chayalim, Asael Achi Yoav, other great warriors, among them were Asael, another brother of Yoav, Elchanan ben Dodo mi-Beit Lechem. The rest of the perek is simply a list of names. We'll read them quickly, but in the framework of our shir, we won't have time to discuss the meaning of each name. Pasach Av Zayin, Shamot Haharuri, Chilets Haploni, Ira ben Ikesh Hatkoi, Abiezer Hanatoti. These two cities, Tekoa and Anatot, are well known in Israel today. Tekoa is in eastern Gush Etzion, where Herodian is, and Anatot is a little north of Yerushalayim that was the city of Yirmiyahu. Nowadays, it's in the middle of a new neighborhood called Pisgat Ze'ev. Sibchai HaChushati, Ilai HaAchochi. Pasek Lamed, Marai HaNetofati, Cheled Ben Bana HaNetofati. Two people from the city of Netofa. Itai Ben Rivai, Migivat Bnei Binyamin, Ubnayahu HaPiratoni. Piraton is the name of a city that one of the Shoftim was from, in Sefer Shoftim. And Givat Bnei Binyamin, most likely, is Givat Sha'ur, or the Givah, where Pilegesh B'Givah took place. These are all cities in the area, not too far from Yerushalayim. Chorai Minachalei Ga'ash, Avi'el Ha'arvati. Pasek Lamed Gimel, Azmavet HaBacharumi, Al-Yachba HaShalavoni. Here we have the city of Shalavim, the famous Yeshivat Shalavim, which is in Emek Ayalon, about 15-20 kilometers west of Yerushalayim. Bnei Hashem HaGizoni, Yonatan Ben Shega HaHarari. Pasek Lamed Hei, Achiyam Ben Sachar HaHarari, Elifal Ben Ur, Chefer HaMecheroti, Achiyah HaPloni. Some more names beginning in Pasek Lamed Zayin. Chetzor HaKarmeli, Narai Ben Azbai, Yoel Achi Natan, Mifchar Ben Hagri, Tzelek HaMoni, Nacharai HaBeroti, Noseich LeYoav Ben Tzuria. The last people mentioned, they were the men who assisted and were the arms bearers for Yoav, who was the key general in David's army. Ira HaYitri, Garev HaYitri. And now in Pasek Mem Aleph, we have a character we're very familiar with from Sefer Shmuel, Uriah HaChiti, Zabad ben Achli. Uriah HaChiti, who was Bathsheba's first husband, here we find that he was one of David's great warriors. Pasek Membet, Adina ben Shiza HaRuveni, Rosh LaRuveni, Valav Shloshim. Chana ben Macha, V'Yoshafat HaMitni. And now in Pasek Memdalad, the last set of names, Uziah HaShtrati, Shama V'Yiel, Bnei Chotam, Eora Iri, Yidiel ben Shimri, V'Yocha Achiv HaTitzi, Pasek Mem Vav, Eliel HaMachavim, V'Rivai, V'Yoshavya Bnei El Na'am, V'Itma HaMoavi. And finally, in Pasek Mem Zayin, Eliel V'Oved, V'Yasiel HaMtsovaya. So that was a list of David's great warriors. The book of Divrei Hayamim, in the context of David's capture of Yerushalayim, and especially in the context of how God went out of his way to help David in all of his military conquests, we get a list of all these great men. Another reason why the book of Divrei Hayamim may be quoting all these actions that the people did was to inspire the people, just like in the time of David, people took action and hence accomplished quite a bit and were able to rebuild Yerushalayim. They too should be inspired to take action. However, there's still something which is very different, which goes back to what we discussed in our series on the prophets of the Second Temple period. Even though they're returning in the Second Temple period and rebuilding Yerushalayim, the manner in which they're returning is quite different. Here we have the story of David captures Yerushalayim and establishes sovereignty. To establish sovereignty, you need to have an army. And David has a very powerful army with a lot of great soldiers. When they're returning in the Second Temple period, they have no sovereignty. The Persians are sovereign. The Jewish nation that returns has no army. We saw in our study of Ezra and Nehemiah, the security of the people is dependent on the Persian authorities. They're able to bear arms like a police force to protect themselves against the local population, but they don't have an army. Because this book is being written in the time of Ezra and Nehemiah, and there's a very sad realization that attaining sovereignty is not within the radar of that generation, nonetheless, when they write about all the actions and endeavors done in the time of David to build Yerushalayim, we reminisce and talk about the great days when we had an army and we had military heroes, even though in their own time they don't have that, maybe in a certain way, we see a certain wish that maybe one day we would return to that. In our next year, chapter 12, we'll continue the list of all the great heroes and military men who come to David. And then in chapter 13, we'll return back to the main theme of Divrei Hayamim and the efforts that David takes to build the city of Yerushalayim as the national and religious center of his people.